Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Right. Oh, God, here we go. Man City, Liverpool, 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. Mark Moran. We've got nine huge days of football coming up. We've had a little break. How are you feeling with the Reds coming back?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And the fact that we've got, hopefully, Diaz, if he's not playing, he'll be on the bench. So maybe come on and score two. wishful thinking. No, but yeah, I'm excited for the weekend. I just think he'll give us a lift, the fact that he's back training with the squad and hopefully get a run out. So, yeah, I'm optimistic. I think we might just sneak it.
Interesting stuff. Dave Jags, how are you feeling?
It feels like a bit of a free hit, but I think the break will have done us better than them, because I think off the back of the Bournemouth game and off the back of them having two really good results in cup competitions, you'd have been like, you wouldn't have been wanting to go straight into playing there. Yeah. And obviously, you know, what's happened to Foden, but it's undoubtedly like an excellent player who's going to be caused us problems. He's not going to be playing. Unless, you know, there's some sort of placenta surgery that has been taking place. I think it's unlikely he's going to be sort of
there's
on the
got
pitch.
To be a rule in football.
There's got to be.
If you have an organ removed at any point in the prior week, there must be a rule that says you can't play.
You've got
and if there's not, someone make that rule. You have an organ taken out of your body, you are not allowed. We have a concussion protocol. Yeah. There must be. That's someone took a piece of your body out of your body. You are not allowed to play. If he plays, it's the greatest pepism of all time. Yeah. We've been absolutely playing.
Alex Ferguson hands his Hall of Fame place straight to Pep Guardiola instead. Just like this. Yeah. Claps him off.
I mean, speaking of which, obviously, I mean, I think we'd all be very surprised if Haaland doesn't make a miraculous recovery and play and start. But yeah, I feel more confident playing them now than we would have.
Chris Pajak, do you still think we're getting spattered?
I do not think we're going to win this game, unfortunately. I think, you know, that's head over heart type of things. I think there's a possibility that Liverpool can go and do it. And I think the tactical sort of thing is really interesting between Guardiola and Klopp. But we're away from home, we're not very good. Early kickoffs, we're not very good. After a big break, we're not very good. And we're playing Manchester City, we're very good. And it just, like, I obviously want us to win, and I hope that we win, but I just can't see it happening. And I live to be proved wrong.
See, I can't go into a game thinking like that.
No,
I won't. As the day will come along, I'll get into it and I'll be like, you know what, we can get into it. But right now,
you know, if you think that, I'm not going to watch it, I just think, you know, go home and knock one out. Is
it? That happens if we win.
Don't do that. We're on the show. I'm on the show with you. That'd be an awful Saturday morning if do the watch along on that.
I was talking about woodwork in the shed, actually.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I'm all right, mate. I think I'm more along the lines of that. I think we do well against City in general, as in like getting. I've got a feeling that this season a lot of the problems has been mental and like a confidence thing or like an attitude like psychological thing, which I think, by the way, is a horrendous thing to say. But like I think that we've seen that because everything the players have told us is that Alisson mentioned it recently. Trent mentioned it recently. A lot of it's been like up in the head. I get to get up for City. They really do. They always have done it. And listen, City have battled us at times. They've played us off the park. And you know, this season already, we've beat them, they've beat us. So it's it's proven that we can all do it. So I don't know if we'll win, and I think we can. But I've got no. I don't think like we're gonna be sleepy Liverpool. The early kickoffs a lot. Liverpool have been sleepwalking. They sleepwalked against Bournemouth, and they thought, oh, this is too easy. This because they were gonna. You know, they had one cleared off line, it was just relentless, and then they fell a kip. I think playing against City kind of focuses your mind. It doesn't let you have those switch off moments, because if you switch off,
if Haaland is injured, you know, and he doesn't play, which I think he will, but if he doesn't play, that's a big miss for them. And I think that'll really lift us, and it'll have the opposite effect on City. So it's a lot hinging on
Foden's
on
a big blow as well, because
he's been really good, we know he's definitely not playing. And if Haaland doesn't play, that's two massive players for them.
He's often picked Foden against us. He scored.
And he's almost the backup plan. I mean, I know they'll have Alvarez, who will just, of course, click into gear if needs be. I'm certain of it. But when they pre-Haaland, Foden doing the false nine and stuff was very much an option for how they go about doing the other thing.
So because they play Foden through the middle, and they'd have Jesus on the right, because he always played Jesus on the right against us, didn't he? Because he wanted the speed there, didn't he?
I don't think that this isn't the City side of last season. We're not saying Liverpool, I get that, but you know, Erling Haaland's done a lot of fucking carrying this team, and fair for he's been amazing at doing it. But like, I don't think they're as good at the back. I think there's weakness that we can exploit against them. I'm with Mark before, like, if Liverpool are going to get top four this season now, it's those front six players are going to carry us there in some shape or form. Jota has had a couple of weeks back where I'm hoping, like he's a semblance of himself. Obviously, then I thought Gakpo's been really, really good recently, so more of him. So I think that we've got the firepower to go up against.
We've got impact players there as well on the bench.
Bench is key. I go back again to the end of last season. You could bring two of those on every time. Now we've got three of them.
Yeah.
So if we start, my guess is he'll start Gakpo, Salah, and Nunez. And then on the bench, he's got Bobby, Jota, and Luis Diaz. That's like, there's something to be said for that, isn't there, as well? So
yeah, and again, being able to keep Nunez on the pitch or bringing someone else. And I think he'll be a little bit soon for Diaz, but if we can get back to that kind of situation, because it's almost been like the games where Nunez has come off in recent weeks where we've been chasing at the Real Madrid games, and you're thinking, it's almost like, it's not like waving the white flag, because we're bringing good lads onto the pitch, but when you lose his dynamism and his pace, we don't seem quite as threatening when he's not on the pitch. And that we now know, he had a knock in the bit about, he's been struggling with the shoulder thing, and he had a cut on his ankle as well, apparently. But this is the game where I want to see him really stretch them, because if we're rebooting, we're going back through the process to be in a counter-attacking side again, you know, and that's where we can be a real danger. They're going to have the ball, they're going to want the ball, you know, they're one of the few teams, you know, who consistently want to go and have more possession than Liverpool in the game. So we've got to make sure we obviously keep the door shut, but if we can just,
when we beat them earlier on in the season in the league, it was the ball from Alisson to Salah, wasn't it? It was that quick break. It was just one kick down the pitch, turn the goal.
It's all about tempo when we play. If we're not playing at high tempo, we struggle. And I think the whole team have got to be at it, certainly against Man. And I think when we put teams under pressure, no one can live with us. Yeah. When going back a season or two, that's what we did, and we haven't been doing that. No. We started to see glimpses of it in the last few games, and that's what I want to see. The high press, And really putting teams under and having a go.
These three games coming up, I don't think Liverpool will win all three. I do think it's possible that we could. But what the messaging almost is, and we've done this a couple of times this season, but you know, maybe we're repeating ourselves, maybe this is the stupidity of me falling in, the romantic in me falling into the Liverpool and footy and all that. But you're saying these are the games where you lay your marker down, because these are the teams you're going to be competing with next season. Yeah. And if you're still here the season after that and the season after that, these are the brilliant teams in the Premier League.
And they're often the games we get up for, and we struggle against the teams lower down the league.
These are the ones where you say, you can go and get a result against them. I want them starting next season going, ah, fuck, we've got to worry about Liverpool again. And it doesn't have a great bearing, but there is a psychological benefit there to being able to go, if we can come in and we can put a good showing in against these teams coming up, then it stands us in good stead. The opposite effect is also true of if we get absolutely trounced in these three games, which I wouldn't expect against Chelsea, but City and Arsenal certainly could do that to us. it could have a negative impact, but Klopp doesn't work like that, does he? He's all about the positives and the opportunity that these present, not here's the fear factor and here's what could happen if it all goes...
My thing with the three games as a whole is more around, like, we're a cat who's lost eight lives in terms of the race for the top four. There is just no fucking wiggle room anymore many points we can afford to lose.
That's pressure in itself.
And that makes it really difficult for a team, doesn't it? That's where I'm like... In my head, I'm like, does Klopp go kind of conservative in this game and try and get through these three games? Or does he have to go at it?
No, I think he's going to.
The last teams I can think of when we've felt like we've had a real battle to get into the top four, but we've been successful, were, funnily enough, the season before Istanbul, when I think we had a run in, but it was crackers. We had to go to Old Trafford and we went there and won. We had Birmingham City away, which at the time felt like a real sort of the real sort of bogey team for us. And we then got to the last game of the season. We only needed a draw against Newcastle.
What the fuck do you remember?
Mate, honestly, mate, stats away. So the pandemic season. You look at it coming towards the end of the season. You've got Old Trafford away. The cancelled game and everything like this. Alisson's header with like in the dying seconds.
We could really do with, again, this is about going into the summer. I don't know whether we'll finish top four. I believe we can because I'm a hopeless romantic ultimately. But ultimately, we've been here every break we've had up until this point. We've gone, this is the chance to settle down, reboot, work on the training ground and come back. It'd be foolish to think Liverpool are going to win 12 games, you know.
You don't need to.
But the problem is that you do need to, if you come out with no wins in the next three, then you are, you know, you're fighting against the psychological pump of that. I do think it's possible now, and I want it, but I think we all need to get excited about it. The season feels over, we were talking before. It's like it's done. We're all ready for the summer. We're all waiting to see whether FSG are going to pull the finger out and buy the players required to make sure Liverpool can compete again.
But for me, though,
the season still
again, talking about the injured players coming back, because that has been a big problem for us this season. The injuries have killed us. That's not the only reason, but the fact that we've got these players coming back, that gives me renewed optimism, because I think, and if we get a result against City on Saturday, that can give us a big bounce for the next few games. And because we've got big sides on the bounce, then they'll get up for those games. Yeah. If we were playing, like, I don't know, Wolves or something, or Aston Villa, then we could get beat.
Yeah.
But I think because we've got big games coming back to back, then
you can't set your foot off the gas.
Exactly. I think that'll help rather than hinder us.
It's very counterintuitive, isn't it? But I do actually agree with that point. I want to ask, because it's being billed as like a bit of a title decider, and with Arsenal to come next weekend as well, that'll play a part in it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Who would we rather then win the league, City or Arsenal, independent of these results, I guess, but as a feeling of preference, Steve?
City, because take it off them in a few years' time.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Arsenal. I kind of like the footy that they're playing at the moment. I like the way that they've built the club up properly again. I think it's good that for all of City's spending, sides can still go and win the league. And that be that Liverpool or be that Arsenal, that's competition. And I don't like it when it's boring and the cheats with loads of money win it every single year. I just would rather anybody win it than the cheats, to be honest with you, because they shouldn't be allowed to be in the league.
Okay.
So, yeah, for me, it's Arsenal all day. Okay. Easy.
I'd say Arsenal because, yeah, a lot of the reasons Chris mentioned in terms of the players they've got, people like Saka, they're very likeable footballers, really. And, you know, obviously, but there is that sort of nagging little thing of thinking, why couldn't we have had this City in one or two. I mean if let's be honest, if we'd have had this City, we probably wouldn't just have had the league, we'd have probably had the quadruple as well, because we'd have been able to rest players and in the running.
It's a good point that.
Mark? Same Arsenal. I just think, you know, if they can go out and win it and play going against teams with all the money, it's good for the game, and it's just nice to see another team, because who wants to see like Scotland Celtic winning every? I don't want to watch that every season. Mm. So it's nice that it's getting handed round to different clubs, and it also it's a bit of a dig in the face for City and for anyone, and for Chelsea and for, you know, the ones who've got all money backing them.
Yeah.
You know, and we did it, you know, with FSG. So that for me is a better scenario.
It shows you can make a big step as well, because was it Arsenal finished eighth last year?
They were bottom of the league at one point.
Yeah, it's like unreal.
It's probably a one-off.
So for them to make that leap and go from potentially eighth to first, that shows you can make a huge leap in one close
season. And we're a prime example, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've gone the other way. Yeah,
yeah.
Look, as a football fan and someone who likes footy, and I like stories, and you're right, I like the likability of Arsenal's players, and Saka's brilliant. I love the fact what they've done. I agree with the points Chris has made that Arsenal have done it the right way. They've obviously thrown up money to get the players in, to juice themselves up to get to that level, but they've got a good coach, they've got a young progressive team, exciting, full of energy, they've managed to get buy-in from all the fans, and again, they haven't had to have bottomless resources to do it. I think that's very admirable. And as far as for us as Liverpool fans, we should be looking at Arsenal going, well, look, Liverpool getting sold looks like it's fallen through, investment might come, who knows, none of us do. Arsenal could be a shining example for us to say, well, Liverpool, with a couple of the right signings in the summer, can get right back to being title challengers again. However, I agree with Steve in that so much as if a case is being built against Manchester City, I think it plays better that they're winning four of five titles, rather than if Arsenal win it, it's three different winners in 5 years or whatever. It looks like a more competitive league, which it technically would be. And there's a little part of me that wants it, all the spotlight to be on Arsenal. Everyone, people like Arsenal now more than they like Man City. And if they get pipped by City, I wonder if just that tear of public opinion finally, when everyone goes, fucking City are horrible, aren't they? And that might be a thing that just stops them from being able to hide behind all the other bits and pieces, but there hasn't been
a lot of anti-City
rhetoric
feeling even among everyone, because it was against us and it was the lesser of two evils. Yeah. Man City winning it was the lesser of two evils. I don't think everyone feels, I think you're right, everyone likes that. Everyone quite likes Arsenal. There's a couple of Tottenham fans who might disagree with that, but overall, like, Arsenal well liked. So I think
like 10 of the 11 starters.
When City become, yeah, true. When City become like the bad guys, it will It might sway people more into hating Man City and building this case against them. So, and also, it'd be really funny if Haaland scored like 50 goals in the league and didn't win it. I just would make me laugh as well.
Yeah, fair. Okay, back to our game then. Any big decisions for the manager this weekend, Chris?
How he sets the midfield up is going to be interesting. Is obviously with Bajcetic being injured until probably next season now, and how I've done a show that's coming out tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, on a bit of a preview, a tactical preview, and we've done a show deep dive as well on Red Men Plus that looks at the running in depth and detail. They're really good shows, actually. Josh was fucking outstanding on them. But one of the things that I think is important is they always overload the right back. I think last time we ended up with Milner there, didn't we, rather than Trent Alexander-Arnold. Now, that right-hand side for us recently has been Trent Alexander-Arnold, probably Harvey Elliott and Mo Salah. And I think that's where we're weak. Now, thankfully, you know, Foden's got that injury, so it makes it a little bit more difficult for them. But for me, it's, can you afford to put Harvey Elliott in that position there when you know they're going to target your right-back? So the question mark then is, who plays that right side of the midfield?
Our best games against City recently, actually, I think Naby's played there.
Yeah, I
think I'm right in saying he played for Guinea and then wasn't training today.
He got took off half time for Guinea.
I've got to be honest, I'd be disappointed if his name was on the team sheet.
No, I don't think he will play, but I think against City, we've gone with it's Thiago, Keita, Fab, and it's because it's been energy against them, and Naby's done those shuttles to get over there and protect them. But like I say, if he's not fit, I think it's a huge call to pick Elliot. Like, it's fair fucks if he does. Like, that is saying before, what's his approach? His approach is, we're going that way against them. We're going to try and score against them.
He did play Elliot in the cup, I think, against him. But we got beat.
Pacetic in the DM in that game.
Yeah, but that was a bit of a mix. And that was just after the break, wasn't it? Where players were still away and stuff.
I agree with you. Elliot
started the home game, didn't he?
Elliot started the home game, yeah.
I think, yeah, it's a big call. I think he probably will do Elliot as well. It's a big call.
I totally agree with your point there. I think we played them at the Etihad last season and we played Fabinho, Thiago Henderson, and their midfield just had too much guile for us. And I think that is what informed Keita then starting the FA Cup against them. And that's why I think he will be brave, but it means that Jordan Henderson plays left of the midfield, I would guess, because I'm not sure. I mean, it's
I'm okay with that, actually.
I think he will. And I think because bravery and trust is all part of a cold Klopp thing, isn't it? I think if you turn round to Harvey Elliott and that and say, it's James Milner, Henderson and Fabinho in there, I'm not sure. I think that's a backward step.
Intensity is a big thing with that midfield.
Yeah.
If they're at it, I think, I don't care who you put in there. If we're at it, we can do a job and get a result.
Yeah, I think that's the real interesting call. And then
up front's a call as well. I don't think up front should be nailed on. I'm not just dismissing Luis Diaz starting. By the way, it's just I wouldn't be shocked if he trains.
I don't think having trained. Well, yeah,
okay. 3 days training.
Training Thursday and then starting after.
Yeah, I see him coming on for like 20 minutes.
That's what's going to happen.
Half.
But I wouldn't be like,
when
totally
did he start training?
Away. Full, yeah, but that was the first the team.
Yeah, they won't train properly tomorrow, day before the game.
But
yeah,
he's been at the AXA for a couple of weeks. Like it's just that the team have all turned up to train today after the internationals.
Any shouts for Artemelo?
Yeah. Remember him?
Hang on, is he fit?
Yeah,
he's not fit.
Must be.
He's fit. Is he?
He is fit. He was fit last week, wasn't he?
Is he really? Yeah, he wasn't even in the squad because we were hard to it. Yeah, he was training today, Arthur.
Right side of midfield, sorted.
Hey.
I feel sorry for the lad because he's had no luck, has he?
No.
But,
That'd be some
stuff. That would be wild.
You know, before when we saw those unsung heroes, there might be an Artemelo goal this season.
Well, there's always something too. We always say Klopp tends to go with the lads who he's had training during the international break. It's a Milner who's all.
And that's why he always starts after the international break.
Milner would always start after the international break because he's been there the whole time. So, you know, it might be a Milner.
Milner
it might be
Milner,
Fabinho,
Milner.
Milner. Elliot in the field based on that, and Artemelo still not getting in because no one knows
who's
up
front. Are we thinking Salah, Nunes?
I think there's maybe an outside shelf for Bobby,
because of his
experience.
Gakpo
as well, because he's not been well.
Yeah,
Gakpo played for Holland.
Gakpo played after he was sick, didn't he?
Yeah, he come off the bench on Monday, I think. But but they love Gakpo, don't they? And I think he's such a good player. I think it's
the type of game as well. He could, you know, he's stamp
you can
your put your mark there, down and go, yeah, I've arrived.
It's the pace thing, isn't it?
Darwin's pace, I thought, caused him was at Anfield the first game. I thought, I know he didn't score, but I thought he put the shits up them a little bit. He kind of kept Kyle Walker pinned in, so. Yeah, I can see Nunes having a good game.
And again, the Diaz thing. Diaz had walking on toast, didn't he? Again, both in that game in the league and then at the in the FA Cup as well. But obviously a bit early.
Thing for me, I don't think he's going to be right for a few weeks anyway. And I've said that a couple of times now. The big impact Diaz is going to have is on that left-sided forward, I think, because now you've got Luis Diaz in training, and you think, I need to fucking make a difference in these games. So if Diaz is on the bench, I expect Nunes to have a fucking good game if he's on the left wing or something like that. And whoever's there over the next couple of weeks, I expect them to be looking over the shoulder thinking, I've got to perform because this lad's coming straight back in if I don't.
That's the way it should be, shouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, completely agree on that. Yeah, I mean, we're happy, I guess, Konate centre-half.
He's had really good games against these. I mean, to be fair, Gomez was good in the league game. But Gomez being good in that league game is what everyone says. He was really good against Man City, and that's kind of like the pillar of what everyone's been. That's what Joe Gomez could be. Yeah. I think Ibu's has been more, and he's been equally as good against.
There's one slight outside chance, and I wouldn't do this personally, but there is something to Gomez at right back, maybe. Yep.
If you're worried about though left wing for them now with no Foden, any one of them, Grealish, Mahrez, Bernard, there's loads of them.
I'm amazed. I know, I mean, this comes up quite a bit. I'm amazed we haven't seen Trent in midfield and Gomez at right back.
Yeah.
I don't know why we haven't tried that.
I just think it's an availability thing. I think if Calvin Ramsey had been more available and if Gomez had been more available, and Gomez has been available, but he's been playing centre-half. You know, he's been that covering thing. I don't think you could make a shift and say, we're putting Trent in
midfield. No, it's a big call, but I just think Trent could do a good job there.
I do. Yeah, I tend to agree on that. But will he do that away?
No, it's not going to happen, is it?
We're saying that he could go front four.
He's done it before against City.
Yeah.
He's done it against the Real Madrid. Didn't work. No. He's got a goal.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, it was a bit more like that in the City against Salah, basically playing more central at Anfield. So he might do something similar again. City have been doing wild things where they've been playing like three at the back and stuff in recent games as well. So
yeah, we look at City and what they do on tomorrow's deep dive, 8 a.m. So one of the ones I talk about is where they start Bernardo Silva left back against Arsenal, basically. It's really interesting what he's been doing to get like an overload in the middle of the park. So yeah, check that one out tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
Pep has been pepping.
I'm gonna pep.
Just over to the Club Legend Discord, Deb's Disney desk, because I would fucking love it if we win Saturday, take the full 3 points from City to stop their title challenges for a change. I'm kind of here for that.
Against all my points. Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, cool. Let's get some score predictions. Mark, what do you think?
I'm going to go 1-0.
Nice. Dave?
I think if we win 2-0. I think it's you get a goal sort of mid second half, hold on, and then hit him on the break with a clincher.
Love it. Chris Page, how many are we losing by?
I think we're going to draw 2-1.
1-1, I thought.
I do think we're going to draw this one. I think we're going to draw this, and everyone's going to go, oh, advantage Arsenal, and then we're going to draw it against Arsenal.
I think we're going to beat Arsenal.
No impact on the title race whatsoever, other than stealing a game from both of their lives.
I think we're going to draw with City, beat Chelsea, beat Arsenal. 7 points from the three. I'd bite your hand off for it now.
I think
we're going to go to Stamford Bridge and win. And I've got no issues playing anyone on Anfield. Doesn't bring it on. Not a problem at all. This Etihad away, early kickoffs. There's a lot of red flags.
Yeah, it is indeed. Okay, brilliant. Well, there we go. Hopefully everyone's feeling a little bit more upbeat and positive around that, including Chris Pajak. Good lad. Thank you so much, gents, for joining us for that. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget to drop a like and subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. If you want to come and check us out doing Red Men Uncensored, where we chat more life in a free form, uncut way, then come over to redmenplus.com. Do use the code TMP on the screen. Well done, Joe. 50% off for 3 months if you use the code TMP on a Club Captain monthly subscription. We hope to see you over there. Other than that is Pint for this week. We will return 7 p.m. next Thursday. Hope to see you there.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.